So they go in and they put down $50 for these lotto tickets.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
Yes.
As a backup.
Yeah, don't have to worry about running out then.
Oh, just on the egg, I like a bit. Yeah, it's
Single guys, well, there is a married man, a powerhouse operator. He'll go up and he'll spend $100 for his wife on these bingo tickets. And he goes out with a brown paper bag, chocolate rock bottle. She goes, she's a couple of years older than him. She doesn't go out in the house whatsoever. And I think she's married, but a little bit older than the bloke. So her only outlet in life was the bingo tickets.
Oh, crikey. Terrible, wouldn't it?
Oh, well, if you run tonight, it'll make up for it.
The cockies come to be fed, do they?
No, they used to come sit in the trees. They've had their feed. They've been out in the bush. They come from the river. They stay at the river overnight. They come in off the bush into their spinner packs, have their feed. And they sit all day in the trees. Right. They don't even know they're there, half of them. But they keep picking the branches. And
are they the white ones, are they?
Yeah, the big white ones.
Because they're so noisy.
Yeah, they're pretty quiet. I think they know if they get too noisy, they get shot.
Yeah, that's really interesting about the club. I sort of thought of... Well, this town seems to be a more family-oriented than Karatha. There seems to be a hell of a lot of drinking. You know, blokes spending $100, $150 a week in the pub.
Yeah, well...
Does that happen here too?
Yeah.
Single blokes?
Yeah. Some married.
They do.
Mm.
Well, I've been a naughty boy ever since I've been here. I've been drinking too much. And I can go through $70 in a weekend.
Well,
did we hear that? Did we get that on tape? Did we?
No, I'm not going to get
that. Well, first of all, I've been accused of spending $70.
What a shame.
But $70, you can do it. I can do it. I'm not a heavy drinker. So the blokes who do put a bit of effort into it can get a lot more.
Yeah, I suppose it's good for the club.
Oh, yeah.
What do you do with the profits? Put it back into the club? Or do you have a dividend for members or what?
No. At the moment we've got 80,000. Well, just under 80,000.
In the bank?
Yeah, we spent 4,000 for the club repainted.
Mm-hmm.
This committee's one of the very few committees that's spent any money. The others have spent.
Oh, I see.
We bought a pool table, which is another 2,500. New microwave oven, because we have bowls and all this type of pasta things. And we're getting another cool room. Company's got one old one. We're going to get that and do it up. And then we're going to buy a new big fridge, display fridge for the drinks and that. We're going to spend money, but we're doing it very carefully.
So you don't pay a dividend out or anything?
No.
Just,
we hope to get extensions done to the club eventually. Make it bigger, have more pool rooms. Maybe get more gambling machines or what, we don't know, but might even get a little restaurant in there.
Yeah, we can't eat, you can't get much to eat outside of shop hours here, can you?
I'll tell you what
should
be sitting up there. I haven't had a bingo night for a long time.
Oh, you go up there and run it, love, and I'll have one.
I'm going to market quite good at that. Oh, she won't do it anymore. She won't get it.
It's,
what?
Well, if she might be leaving, she might be...
Margaret's going to think about Margaret.
William.
Williamson.
Yeah, Christmas time. So they say.
Mm. Your legs are just about grown up, aren't they? They've got most of their kids seem to be Gerald and school.
Six of them, haven't they?
Six?
Is it six children they've got? Yeah. But not all of them are at school. I think some of them are grown up and away.
No, granddad's first marriage.
Pardon?
Granddad had a couple of kids in his first marriage.
Oh, I see. What, Keith?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a second marriage,
yeah? Yeah.
Second marriage, I guess.
We call him Granddad.
Yes, he said that, didn't he? He said Granddad. I wonder what he was talking about. Yeah. Listen.
Takes his dog for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
On his place to the club. Leaves the dogs outside, he goes to the club.
They're good little dogs. They would jump up on you all over the place, but they're not... No, not a nuisance or anything.
Funny little things, aren't they? Little short legs.
Yeah, they are funny. Yeah. You know, my daughter reckons they're gorgeous.
Yeah, well, you don't have to walk them very far, that sort of dog.
Mm-mm.
I mean, big dogs, you've got to go and run around with the buggies. Actually, I reckon dachshunds are the best sort of dog to own because they've got that little legs and it's a little bit of exercise keeps them happy. I like a dog, but we haven't got a big enough place.
I'm the same. I'd like to have a dog. But
and we go away a lot, and they're a game nuisance. You can't take them.
I like a dog.
That's the thing. It doesn't matter how many, you can have a dog. The thing is, you've got to go away, and there's that many places now that are closing to animals like that. You just can't take them in.
No,
so you can't have them.
Have them
What sort of a dog would you like, Dennis?
Coochie, do me.
Which?
Coochie. Black
no. Man.
Not the way he is at the moment, he wouldn't.
Down on a farm, he'd be ideal. Bought a property. I wouldn't get one until I had a property. So I had to shoot one before. And I said never ever again. And if I ever got a bit of a property, Coochie would be ideal.
Yeah, we had one. He started chasing cars and he got knocked down. In the end, his hip back legs were real bad. We're withered, weren't they? One of them. Dennis ended up having to.
Yeah, that's the trouble with pets, you know, you get fond of them and something happens. Or your life changes. And, you know, what are you going to do? With like these friends of ours we met out of Cossack, they've got an old Alsatian, which is living longer than they thought he would.
Yeah.
Well, they're taking off on a yacht around the world. They've just finished building this yacht. And, you know, what are they going to do with that dog? He'll end up, like, he's not very agile either. He'll probably end up falling over the bloody edge, you know. Yes, it's a shame. Listen, Dennis, I wonder if you mind, I didn't have my tape recorder on yesterday when you were telling me about that accident, the one, you know, where the hall pack went over.
Pauline went over,
yeah. Yeah, explain it to me again, if you wouldn't mind. What, just in words that people can understand if they don't know the area, you know?
What happens, we've got a loadout, and also we have a stockpile. On the stockpile, trucks go down, they've got a spotter, a man that backs them up to the edge, to within a reasonable part of the edge, and he indicates they can tip their loads.
Is that when there's too much to be dropped, you know,
and
straight into the trucks?
Yeah, into the wagons, in the rail wagons.
Yeah.
And so the policy was they'd back up about 10 foot from the edge and tip their load. It's called short dumping. Then they had a rubber tired dozer or a big dart front end loader to push it over, the dirt over, safely. Company policy, new company came in, company policy changed to push up to the edge, tip over the edge. And what had happened, there'd been a funnel loaded under, down on the bottom, and he'd been digging the ore out to put in the wagons and undercut the bank. And the new policy was to back the trucks right up to the edge. Well, when she backed up, the bank gave way and the truck went over.
How much was what does one of those haul packs weigh, would you reckon?
94 ton empty,
and how many tons would they have in?
120.
So you're looking at nearly 200 tons on the edge of an unstable
bank. That's what happened. She was lucky to be alive, and she had a broken hip and broken pelvis. She's full of pins. She ever goes to an airport to set all the alarms off. She'll never ever work again.
And does the company acknowledge liability?
Well, there's going to be a court case over it. She's suing the spotter, which is unfortunate for Craig, and the foreman and the manager. Because the manager always gets prosecuted because he's responsible.
He's ultimately responsible for what happens in the mine.
Yeah. Whether he knows about it or not, because he leaves his foreman to take care of those type of jobs.
Mm. Now the foreman,
he's still liable.
Would that be the foreman's decision, or is that top management decision, that sort of thing? Or did they just tell the foreman to cut corners and to cut costs?
Well, Andy Gilchrist would be the one. He's the man in between. He's head of the mine site. See, the mine manager, Russell Tipple's head of the whole project here. Andy Gilchrist and Dave Marlin make those decisions. And they don't get any blame whatsoever. Tell the foreman, that's the new system, do it. That's what happened.
And if the foreman doesn't, well then he's in the poo.
He's walking.
And is that now, I suppose they've stopped doing that now, they've had the accident, haven't they?
Yeah. We had an argument about double side loading. Trucks come in both sides, shovel and fill this one up, spin around, fill that one up, while I'm filling this one, another one comes in. I just keep going. I said it was dangerous. Andy Gilchrist there, or Dave Marlin was waffling on. And I said, dangerous. So you could all new learning. I said, you took them husband and wife team out of the mess, put them out the mine site on haul packs. They didn't like it. They just been on them. And I said, "Accident is going to happen." I said, "Who's going to take responsibility?" So I said, "I'm not." I said, "It's just your fault." I said, "Not my fault. If the truck runs in the back of me, or I turn around and clean up a truck, I'm not responsible for any damage or any injury. I've laid it down to you. That's it." Their answer was, and everybody heard it, and we still use the catch bait, "We'll wait till an accident happens, then we'll see about it." 2 days later, Kingy back straight in and right into the back of the shovel. Bounce ground back shovel. Oh, dented all the back of the shovel in. That was quite a bit of damage, and he hit hard. No one was hurt. Then they stopped it.
Because it damaged the property, damaged property.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, would you say the company sort of thinks it meant lives are cheaper than property? I mean, lives are cheaper, you know.
At one stage, there they were. They're starting to come out of their shell, but we still see the system of, if safety's going to cost production, slow production, bypass it. Production's the ultimate. Now, if they can incorporate safety within that production without losing production, they're all for it. But the minute it's going to upset their production, forget it. They're putting water on the roads. Sometimes there you're driving along, there's next minute there's a big Wabco coming towards you, out of the dust.
A big what?
Wabco, big truck, haul truck.
Oh, yeah.
Coming out of the dust at you. Because they're just not putting enough water down.
They put down water so you can see what they're doing.
I think vision for them too, because I suppose they've got to see too where they're going.
Was that a haul pack that you're talking about? I see. Yeah. There's two sizes of haul packs, I noticed.
Yeah, 120 tonners and 170 tonne.
Nice. And that was a big one that went over the edge, wasn't it?
No.
It was a small one, was it? Yeah. Yeah, we saw it. And is that vehicle stuffed?
Total wreck.
Doesn't look that bad, does it?
All the chassis underneath broken.
Is it?
A lot of things have bent up.
How far, how high would that have been? The
50.
Yeah.
50, 60 foot.
Like a 10, that's a 6-story building.
We go over, went right over twice.
Imagine the thoughts.
Turned over as you went down.
Imagine your thoughts as you knew you were going, and then you had to feel yourself with that big truck.
Well, I've gone over myself. Griffin, not tight tipped over, but I've gone over the bank that much. I've climbed out of the cab and I'm walking around on top of the radiator. On one of these trucks, Terex. Actually, it was that one.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, it was that one. I was walking around on top of there.
That's a haul pack, is it?
Yeah, that's another brand of truck.
Yeah, Terex.
That's a 75 ton.
Yeah, I see.
And that went out of the clay bank, and I was walking out on top of the radiator.
But it didn't go right down.
So they hooked on two scrapers, which are these things. They hooked two of them on together, because these two hook up. So you got the big hook bar.
Yeah.
They hook together. They fill them up with soil, because they've got a motor front and back. They hook two of them together and a big rope on the truck, and hang on to you. And you tip your load off, and they drag you out.
Yeah, it must be quite a exciting
feeling.
That's what I mean. For that girl, it must have been even before she hit to get the injuries, it must have been awful.
Because you feel you lose control of the shovel.
And you know yourself how big that bank is. And you think, I'm going.
We went and had a look at it.
And then the other thing you were talking about, I didn't understand, Dennis, about the blasts. You were saying that they blast in a different way now. How does that work?
In all mines, Mines Regulation Act states, no equipment, no machine shall dig within 6 metres of charged up holes. That's when they're ready to fire.
They drill a hole and put in a charge to blow
blow the ore.
Blow the ore, yeah.
Well, I was digging holes out.
You mean when they...
Mm. It's all charged sitting up on this bench here, all charged up. We're digging here. I'm digging along, though, next minute I need...
Piece of bacon
here, though. It's all white. Four legs in that
bench. I'm hungry, I'm just getting ready. Yeah, go your halves in one, Phil.
No, I couldn't take them.
Well, what about you, Dennis?
Nothing.
I'm just going to go to the... You know where, visit
you.
You've got
to
go.
I'll
get Papa.
Yeah. And so I was digging away, and the next minute there's all this cordex. That's the where the fire type thing goes down, the fuse type thing, down the hole, hit the detonator, which explodes the charge in the hole. I'm digging them out.
What, when they're charged? When they're they're alive?
Yeah. And I rang up the... senior mines inspector in Karatha, and he said, oh, you've got a problem. Definitely got a problem. He said, I know I have. He said, see Mr. Tipper. And Mr. Tipper, he's my manager. He's the one responsible. Tell him your problem and get him sorted out. If you can't get any sense out of him, bring me back and he said, I'll come straight over. So that's how important it was. He was going to come from Karatha East straight away.
So... I don't quite understand. They've got these charges above ground.
Yeah, on the next bench. On the next bench.
Oh, bench of earth.
Yeah, on the next bench. They're up here, right? Mm. I'm on the next bench. Digging down the previous bar, see?
Yeah.
And I'm digging away, and the holes go down. I'm digging away, and I'm digging into these holes that are charged up. And you're not allowed to win 6 metres. So we can't see above.
No,
because they're high up, and we can't
see. Oh, I see. How high is the bench?
70 footers back.
Oh, I see, so you can't... And that charge comes right down to the next bench?
Yeah, right down in...
70 foot?
Yeah. And then we can't see the bugs, and we're digging away. Next minute, see the whole half hole, all the cortex, and it fall in.
Get out of it quick.
Yeah, anyway, I went and see Mr. Tipper. He would not have anything to do with me. He's told him the problem. He says, nothing to do with him. You go and see Andy Gilchrist. And I said, well, Andy Gilchrist... I've been told, hasn't got any authority. I'm going through his secretary. He's in the next room. He wouldn't speak to me. His secretary's run back and forwards. Andy Gilchrist came along, and he said, oh, the pace is like that. And 6 metres at the bottom, and the charge is at the bottom. And what's digging is falling away is at the top. It was all bulldust because the pace was dead straight.
Oh, he's saying you really are 6 metres from it because the pace is sloping.
Yeah, well, it was all bulldust because the pace was standing dead straight. And you know, they told me that, and I wasn't happy, but on the other token, if I'd have pushed it, I would have got sacked. This is the only problem. Now, if I'd have got the mines inspector in here, and he'd have got in the company, they would have tramped him. They would have made some way...
Excuse.
I would have got sacked. So I got to ban that, so I had to back off and leave that situation. Well, and hope to God.
It didn't happen again.
But then again, I noticed the very next day, they run down and put pegs along the face.
Which ones?
I think that one's mine.
One was there.
That's
mine.
Yours.
Mm. They put wooden pegs in like that, and they put yellow tape in between, like streamer topping, so we could see it. Mm-hmm. But I'd done that the very next day. Yeah. So I'd scared somebody, but now that's lapsed. They've forgotten about all that again.
So you got to keep on and on.
Yeah, so, but I just hope I don't have the problem again. Or if I do, I'll load it out in the truck and I'll go down the thing. And when the explosive charge gets to the crusher and it blows up in the crusher, not my problem.
People will be killed.
Yep, it's not my problem. Mm-hmm. This is what can happen. Yeah. I've tried, but you're limited with people like this. Now, if it had been another mining company, I would have an inspector over here and said, right, sort him out, do something.
And when you haven't got the unions being crushed, they can't do much to look
after,
can they?
That's safe. To me, I'm a... very safety conscious man, because I don't like to see anybody hurt or killed.
It's your life anyway.
Yeah, and life's of Craig Mitchell. We had an accident. That poor bloke's been sued for something he was told to do by the company.
Where's this? Here?
Yeah, he's the one that made Pauline back over the stockpile.
Yeah.
He was the spotter on the ground.
Yeah.
And she's suing him because he made her back up to the edge, right?
Mm.
He gave her direction because she's got to watch him out the window. He's going... like this.
Mm.
He went one too many one of those. Yeah. She went over.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been sued. It wasn't his fault. He's been told by management to back him right up to the edge.
That'd probably be a legal point, you know, how a child has to sue its father for an accident. Probably,
yeah, well, this is it. It's gone through the chain.
Yeah.
I don't know the legal system, whether he has to pay out of his own pocket if he's caught or...
Service of the servant of the company. Unless the company's got some contract with him, but they don't, you know, that he's not...
Yeah, well, this is
they're
it.
They're not liable. Anyway. It's an unenviable situation right down the line, isn't it, really?
It is.
So we don't know, but Craig's not, he's a pleasant fellow. He's actually working at Shade Depp now.
He's not here anymore.
No. Mm. Oh, he was... It really affected Craig.
Yeah,
oh, it really upset him.
Yeah, it would.
No, he was a... I was living with him in E Block, and it really upset him.
Is a spot a wages man or a...
Yeah, wages.
Oh, I see. So he's not a company man.
No.
He's not a staff man.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're really putting all those responsibilities back on their workers,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
trying and keeping their own hands clean as much as they can.
Yeah.
You know,
they do things like that, you know. It's well, I will say, we're on my ship now, I've got Puddles. He is trying, but he's restricted by the upper management.
Mm.
Now, he's been given orders by upper management to say, look, you do safety. But when it interferes, when safety interferes with production, forget it. I get on good with Puddles. Now, a lot of guys don't like him. He's an ex-copper, and we've got a lot of ex-policemen here in this workforce. They're all mongrels, one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, I get on good with him. I can have proper discussions. If I see a problem, I say, well, Puddles, there's a problem. He'll fix it straight up.
Now, tell me, why would... ex-policemen going to, because they wouldn't earn as good money. Would they earn better money where they are than they did as coppers?
About the same, with no responsibilities. Their wives, see, in an unfortunate position nowadays, police's wives are in a bad position. There's shootouts and all this other stuff going on.
Yeah.
I had a friend in Collie, Neville Cosgrove, and he was a policeman, good policeman. Everybody liked him.
Yeah.
He wasn't a mongrel. He didn't have to be a mongrel to do his job properly. He got out because he didn't like the system, the corruption that was going on there, and his wife was getting a little bit nervy about, you know, one day he'll come home with a bullet between the eyes or something. He got out and went into the mines. He's about, completely on good money, so he would have lost money, Neville, but these policemen going on staff here, they'll be about the same money without that element of risk.
Yeah.
To their lives, you know.
And they got all the perks of the house and this sort of thing.
Yeah, well, policemen get some. Policemen are pretty good wicket.
Yeah, they get good money, eh?
But let's see, other things, like I have to put up with drunks. And,
being dragged out in the middle of the
night. Eric we don't know whether he got the sack on the police force or got removed, like, you better leave, fella. Apparently an Aboriginal died in a cell or something. Bomb. I don't know the full story, but something along that line. That was one of the reasons he left.
Someone told me about some foreman here. Is his name Johnson or is he at Wickham? You got a foreman called Johnson?
That's the industrial relations officer.
Is he up here?
Yes. No, not here. He's in Wickham.
Yeah, he's supposed to have been, you know, boasted he was a... used to kill blacks in South Africa or something, wasn't he?
No, not
that one?
No. No, Johnson's the IR man. He was... I knew him at Hammersley as an electrician.
Oh.
And now he's came up his head IR.
He's
man.
Not from South America, South Africa.
No.
Yeah, of course, the union organisers are telling me now that if they're you know, they're allowed on the job under the award, but they're not allowed to talk to anyone. The company officer follows them around the whole time, I think.
Oh, yeah, well...
To write everything down and it'll...
Well, when Simon Queen came up, Jack Marks and a couple of other blokes were at the mine site. And I just happened to be going to the office, fill out a holiday form or something. And I met them there. Well, the company didn't like me talking to them, but me being me, I said to Cream, because I see Andy Gilchrist standing behind, so I had to be careful what I said. And Simon Cream says, "How are things going? Got any problems?" I said, "We don't have problems here, Simon. They've taken everything away from us, so we can't have problems." The manager, well, the next guy down on the moment, stand behind.
This was after the strike, wasn't
it? Yeah.
Oh, he's up here after the strike.
Yeah, for a backup.
It's fancy asking in front of the bloody manager.
Yeah, what is
he
after?
Well, he wasn't going to ask you when the manager wasn't there. You might have told him.
And,
That's probably why he
Yeah, but I don't think he expected the answers like I give him.
Yeah.
And I said, "Anyway, you've got a cheek to come here." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "After you shafted us after that last night, you've got a cheek coming to town." I said, better prepare yourself for a pretty good meeting, mate. And me and Jack Mark are talking about, I know Jack from down home, and I've got talking about a friend and a lot of different things. At that meeting, I got up and said to him, Simon done his nine, and you know, well, I don't care, we sold this down the drain. Could they, we refuse, we'll never be able to prove it. And he must have taken the court for being slanderous, if you ever heard me say it, in writing or print. The thing is, everybody knows it. He got told to stick his document, we didn't like it, so he ran straight back to the Eastern States, must have phoned some of his friends on the commission, told them to get the seamen back to work, because with the seamen out, we were lucky because no oil had been shipped. The company wasn't making no money. Get them back to work, and the following week, the seamen went back to work, the following weekend he was back here.
To ask you again if you
same paper, well, we had to go back because the seamen were back.
So they got the seamen, see, because there was no point in staying out because the oil was still being shipped by people who were working out
and
there.
They were
so
sent
there was no
training.
Point in the men staying out.
So, but we'll never be able to prove it. Maybe we're totally wrong. But
just seems a coincidence.
We're pretty well. We reckon we're
pretty well. I wouldn't say that at all. I'd say that it's happened too often. We've seen it happen before, haven't we? It's not as if it was the first strike.
It's right.
Yeah. It's not as if it's the first strike. I mean, that's the booming experience of the
show. But the famous 1926 strike in England.
The coal strike,
big strike where they sold out. Generally strike, and they were sold out.
We've been sold out by our own government here.
Oh, wow.
See, Bert the Jerk, he should have, that's my nickname, Bert the Jerk. I don't like the man. And he could have stepped in and done the same thing what the New South Wales government's just done at Saxonville. Stop the takeover and get everything sorted out before they get in and done what they did to us. They could have done it here. We asked them to stop their export licence. Jack Marks and them told them, we're going to do this and we're going to do that, but nothing ever eventuated. The politicians jumped in one stage there to get a little bit of mileage, but they had a foot on each side of the fence. Now, if we were going to win, they would have jumped on our side of the fence. Because we lost, they're sitting on the other side of the fence. And that's how it was. And they expected people to vote for them.
It was ever thus.
Well, I'll vote Liberal this time. The simple reason is, we know it's going to be full on. We're going to hit them straight on. They're going to stab me. I know it's going to be fair in the chest. And I know where I stand. But with the moment of the Labor government, you don't know when they're going to creep up behind and stab you.
They've done things that no Liberal government could have got away with.
We don't know where Australia's going anymore. Before we had a Labor government, a Liberal government, but now we've got a Liberal government, the most Liberal Labor government you've ever had. The average working man's very confused. And I think you'll find, this time you'll have the most informal votes ever.
I would definitely say that Labor's not going to have
us. Not a landslide. The only thing that's going to save them is Howard and all them having a fighting amongst themselves. The only thing that saved them.
And then the threat of those new right people, they're trying to get the balance of power in the Senate, which would be very dangerous.
Now, if they had got Howard out and put Andrew Peacock in, a lot of people disagree with it, Mr. Peacock's popular as a person, got a better image, and he's a more swifty guy too. Don't worry about that. I think if Labor had stopped their infighting and had Peacock, had Peacock in the head of the party, I think the Labor would get a big shock.
I think that this whole, this fighting and infighting in the right wing and the Liberals and the National is not an accident. I think it's been
orchestrated.
I think it's been orchestrated by the CIA, to keep Hawke in, because he could be doing a better job for the bloody Yanks and the Japs than
Hawke.
Yeah, the thing is, we let them have the run of our country, the Yanks. So they got secret bases everywhere.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you an instance. When I was in Tom Price, we were sitting on top of the hill. It's a big, high mountain. I was on a shovel there, and I said to mate, have a look at this. Over in the gully, there's massive, great, big American transport planes. You know the great big ones?
Air Force.
Mm. Low flying. Coming in from the Cape. And they were going into the middle of Australia somewhere. And they were low flying. And I tell you what, we were looking down on them.
Yeah.
And I was on a shovel. They were massive, great transport. There was about half a dozen of them. It was right on the evening too. So they could just see what